The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, it's Rock and Roll Friday. Now, since I went to Jamaica High School, because I was born in New York and have a birth certificate to prove it, and I have my mother's citizenship papers to prove that, we're going to have Donald Trump on at the bottom of the hour to talk about birth certificates and other things, and about being rich in America, and why the rich are hated by the vermin in America who are poor, and those who don't work for a living. There's nothing new under the sun. The have-nots have always wanted what the haves have attained. The have-nots who are too lazy or unlucky or whatever it is that put them on the bottom have always wanted to take from those who have succeeded through hard work. And it's no different today. Headline in the local San Francisco newspaper, the San Francisco Communicle, says, "Tax hike on rich appeals to voters." Now, of course, it's nothing but a propaganda rag put out by the lowest of the low. The paper loses about $1 million a day or a week. God knows, only know. It's nobody reads it anymore. Mine was found under my doorway today, and I looked at it, and I said, here we go again. And listen to the headline in this communist rag. Tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Strong bipartisan support for 1% increase poll shows. According to the poll, which was conducted by Democratic pollster Ben Tulchin, it gets better, and sponsored by the California Federation of Teachers. Now, I'm a former teacher, so it's hard for me to bash teachers. But, you know, the difference between me as a teacher and the current crop of teachers is like the difference between a Sheltie and a Collie. It's like a difference between a Mutt and Lassie. It's like a difference between a Mutt and Rin Tin Tin. These are not teachers. These are money-grubbing bums who don't want to work. They want to live like rich people without teaching the children how to read or to write or to add. And let me tell you something else. It's easy to say tax the rich, but California has the highest income tax that I know of in the country. It's now between 10 and 11% for the rich. So, of course, if you're a bum teacher who likes 12 weeks off, no one overseeing whether you're a good teacher or not, a nice fat pension at the end of the road, of course you'd like to add another 1% onto those who make more than $500,000 a year. And then when the rich leave California, which they will do, in droves, why don't you lower it to those making $100,000 or more? But that would include you, the teachers, wouldn't it? What a bunch of garbage. But this is published by a newspaper that no one reads, as I say. So you take a look at who they polled. Who they polled is the California Federation of Teachers. Let me tell you something. You can straighten the budget out in the state of California without taxing the rich. Let's start by cutting off benefits to the non-citizens. Let's start by cutting out bilingual education for people who don't even belong here. How many billions would that save, Governor Brown? And now let's look at something else. As I drove into the city today to do my show, I come over the Golden Gate Bridge. Sometimes I stay in the city, sometimes I stay over the bridge. Today I wanted to be in the city. The minute you come off one of the iconic structures in America, the Golden Gate Bridge, and you come down into the Marina District, the road is broken like in a third world country. I got to tell you something. Where are the hundreds of millions of dollars that are being stolen out of the city treasury and given to the bums, the homeless, the illegal aliens, and the other bloodsuckers in this city that you can't even patch a pothole in San Francisco because the money is gone? I'll tell you something else. When an infrastructure starts to go in a city or a state or a nation, you know that the nation and the city and the state are at the end of the line. Rome was once the dominant city-state of the world. And when its infrastructure started to go, the nation itself soon fell apart thereafter. I could easily fix the streets. I could fill the potholes. Stop giving turkey sandwiches to the drug addicts in the gutter. Put them into rehabilitation centers. Get the bums off the street. Stop with the homeless services. I'll tell you something else. I drive into this beautiful city today, and I see, you know, there's broken roads everywhere. They want to tax the rich, meaning people who work for a living. And take a guess what I see. I got to admire the San Francisco Chinese community. You know why? Because there's a place called the Unlock Senior Citizen Services. I drove by there. I saw five or six new 12-passenger vans driving the senior citizens of Chinatown around from their apartment so they can get free health care, free this care, free that care. All the vans were brand new and shiny. None of them were broken down. Their hubcaps were shiny. They were freshly washed. Where'd that money come from? Where'd the money come from for the Unlock Senior Citizen Services? And why is it limited to people of Chinese descent, by the way? Now, it's not limited only to the Chinese. And as I say, you got to admire the San Francisco Chinese community for providing so well for their own. It's not limited to them. Take a look at every other ethnic group in San Francisco. They're cared for very, very well. And that's why the roads are broken. And that's why the potholes need filling and they're not being filled. And that's why you don't need to tax the rich. What you need to do is stop providing every imaginable service for every imaginable citizen in the United States of America. And so, therefore, as I say, if you're already paying 10.5% or 11% state income tax, there are states that charge no income tax. Florida is one. Texas is another. New Hampshire is another. Washington State is another. Tennessee is another. Where do you think the people who are driving the businesses in this state are going to go if you keep sucking them dry, you stupid morons called teachers? They're going to leave, and then who's going to be taxed? You're going to be taxed because you're going to be the only ones earning any money. But they don't see it that way. Tax the rich, say the voters. No, the voters didn't say tax the rich. It was the teachers' union who said tax the rich. 1-800-449-8255. Don't call me on any of these topics, because there's nothing you can say that I haven't said better. And now on to Libya on the Savage Nation. Libya, doesn't the word rebels have a nice ring to it? Don't you like the word rebels that the vermin in the media use all the time? Sort of sounds like James Dean in Rebels Without a Cause. All young people who came to America, discovered dungarees and the BlackBerry, and then went back to overthrow the mean dictator Gaddafi. If only the storyline were that simple. But you see, I'm not with CNN or Fox News. The storyline is a lot more complicated than that. As we've all discovered, the, quote, rebels just got through shooting our soldiers in the back in Afghanistan. And now our idiots who run this government want to give them weapons. The morons in the defense establishment now want to provide weapons to the so-called rebels who wind up using them against our own troops. Who's running this country? How do these people wind up with so much power? Who is running and ruining this country? And if you think it's limited to the idiots in the Defense Department, you're wrong. All you got to do is listen to Senator Dianne Feinstein, one of the richest women in the world, thanks to the fact that she sits on so many powerful committees and her husband does so much business all over the world. According to the LA Times, he benefits directly from Dianne Feinstein's committee assignments. Only in a banana republic does this occur. Now, Dianne Feinstein, who was a peacenik last week, is now saying your son... That is, if your son's not from San Francisco. There are no sons here, by the way. Your son in middle America should go and get killed in order to kill Gaddafi, she said. You're not going to believe what you're about to listen to. I want you to listen to clip two from Dianne Feinstein, ex-peacenik.
How do we get rid of Gaddafi without putting boots on the ground?
I see only three ways. One is through the international court, reportedly doing an investigation. I don't know whether they can get it done and go in and arrest him.
Next. Next, next.
Secondly, next. Moving him with some incentives, I gather, to another country. And the third is meeting the same fate that Saddam Hussein met. I don't know how you solve this
problem. So she's calling to kill. Here is a Miss Peacenik liar through her teeth, phony through and through, makes me crazy, number three, saying that they should go and assassinate Gaddafi. This is Dianne Feinstein, who 2 weeks ago was Miss Peace and Love. This is who's running America. Underneath the heart and soul of every phony liberal, there's a murder with a knife in her hand. As long as it's your son who has to go over and risk his life to murder the dictators. I'll be back.
Savage.
Mr. Secretary, could you just tell me which of those three provisions, a declaration of war, specific statutory authorization, or a national emergency created by an attack on the United States or its forces, were applicable in this particular situation?
It has been the view of every president since the War Powers Act was passed that the kind of action we are taking is compliant with the law.
What a liar. What a liar. We're living in a damn banana republic with liars and thieves. I'm sick of the country. I'm getting sick of this. Why is there no music? Where'd the music go? What, am I going deaf? I'll take OxyContin. I'm not Rush. I do have a head cold, but I wear the music cold. We have a lawless, out-of-control criminal administration at every level. How's that? Does that work for you? Here's the defense secretary being challenged by a timid little guy in the media who has the nerve to finally ask the question that the media is supposed to ask, which is, where the hell did he get the right to bomb a foreign country without the permission of the U.S. Congress? The answer is, he doesn't need the permission. This is called a dictatorship, but I guess when it has a D next to its name, hey, it's a good dictatorship. Or shall we say D stands for dictatorship? The next time you see the word D next to a politician's name, just understand that it's a big D, and it stands for big dictatorship. And they want to tax the rich, do they? Another 1% in the state that charges 10.5%? Let me tell you something. Those of us who make more than $500,000 a year worked for it. I didn't steal it from anybody. And my roads are broken. My streets are full of illegal aliens. The cafes are full of bums collecting crazy checks who don't work. Who do you think supports this state? It's people like me, and I'm not going to pay another dime. You add one more percent that I'm leaving this state, and you can take it then from the teachers who say that you should tax people like me. I worked all my life for every penny I have, and I'm not giving you another dime. The streets are broken. The streets are full of bums. The streets are full of violent people. The cops are hiding because they know if they do their job, they wind up on the docket, not the criminal. I don't blame the cops. They would do the job if you unleashed them to do the job. Spineless communists running the state and the city and the county. Spineless communists. At the end, there'll be no one left to support these bums. Nobody. Except the civil servants. And then who are they going to tax? Tax hike on rich appeals to voters, says the San Francisco Communistical. Who did the poll? Democratic pollster. Sponsored by who? The California Federation of Teachers. Why don't you actually do a poll amongst those who make the livings here in the state rather than the bum teachers who don't work for a living? And why don't you actually use a real pollster instead of this creep who works for the teachers' union, because then they wouldn't publish it. And Dianne Feinstein, peacenik yesterday, now she wants to kill Gaddafi. You hear this? She wants to sanction the death of Gaddafi. She never had me fooled. I've been in the city too long. I know who this one is. I know how she became senator. I remember what she did when she was mayor. Believe me, I know what you're dealing with here. I know who Madame Defarge is. I know what Madame Defarge does. I know Madame Defarge keeps the lists. So where do you turn? You turn to yourself and your own family. Yeah, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. It'll set you free, all right. It'll set you free. Look what it did for Jesus. Oh, yeah, it'll set you free, all right. Yeah, if you live in a free country, the truth will set you free. But if you live in a dictatorship, it won't set you free. It won't set you free at all. So what do you want to talk about today? Donald Trump's on in about 10 minutes. Let's see what he has to say about taxing the rich. Let's ask him what he thinks about killing Gaddafi. By the way, ask me what I think about killing Gaddafi. Ask me, what do I think about killing Gaddafi? I say, no, don't kill Gaddafi. It's his country, not your country. Now, why do I say that if he's an all-around bad guy who 2 weeks ago hated America? Because the people who are liable to come in are worse than him, according to what I can analyze. It's the same thing with Egypt. I told you this before. Same thing with Egypt. Mubarak was a dictator, but a benign dictator. Wait till you see what you're going to have there soon. You have chaos in the gutters of Egypt now. You have bribery. You have murder. You have rape. You have a wrecked infrastructure. But the vermin in the media who cheered on the rebels in Egypt, like Anderson Cooper, who went over there and got his hair messed up and had a nervous breakdown. He had to rush back to West Hollywood to have his hairdresser redo his hair. He had a nervous breakdown, but where is he now? He doesn't dare set foot in Egypt. That bum, that West Hollywood cretin. Where is he now? Will he show you what's really going on in Egypt, that bum? None of them. Well, none of those bums who wrecked Egypt will show you what's going on there now. They won't show you the Muslim Brotherhood rising up. They won't show you what they're going to do in Libya any more than they'll show you what's going on in Iraq. Oh, Saddam was an evil man, terribly evil man, but the first Bush had it right, which was to weaken Saddam and keep him as a counterbalance to the growing power of Iran. But the second Bush had it all wrong. He killed Saddam and his sons. And what did I say in my book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, 3 years ago? I said it could turn out to be the greatest military disaster in history. And it was. That's right. An old Bushy committed the biggest military disaster in history, which was opening up a gigantic Shia empire running now through all the land that the ancient Iranians once had. The Persian Empire is once again because of George Bush, too. So now what? Under Obama now we're going to see the growth of a new Muslim caliphate? Do they work for them? Do they work for the enemy? Are they playing for the opposition? I'm starting to think maybe I have it wrong. My anger is misdirected because they may actually be doing the job they were put in power to do. Wouldn't matter, make any difference if they were not or were working for the opposition, because they're performing the same tasks in either case. So there it is. You wake up every day and it gets worse every day. And the hypocrisy under Obama and the criminality has never been anything like. It's like Uruguay. I feel like I'm living in Uruguay. Green energy, my behind, green energy. You make me president, I could make this country energy independent in 1 year. I would drill in our own country. I would drill offshore in California. I would drill in the slopes of Alaska. I'd start drilling everywhere. I'd open up the Gulf. It's open right now, you schmucks, you. China's drilling in the Gulf. Cuba's drilling in the Gulf. 8 or 9 nations are drilling in the Gulf. The only nation not drilling in the Gulf is the United States of America, because Obama wants his cronies who are in the criminal green energy business to profit from this crisis. Don't you understand what he's doing? What is wrong with you stupid liberals?
Savage.
So we have a complete lack of leadership in a simple way. I mean, you look at the Drudge Report. Oil soars. Highest March price on record, almost $109 a barrel. Obama's limo exempt from new green policy. 1,000 people and companies are exempt from this Banana Republic Obamacare. Foreign banks took most from the Fed during the bailout. And that guy, Barbasol Bernanke, kept the secret. The Libya-owned bank got 73 loans of your money. And here's the topper from the Wall Street Journal. More Americans work for the government than in manufacturing, farming, fishing, forestry, mining, and utilities combined. This is a socialist government. Joining us right now is a person who is the antithesis of socialism, Donald Trump. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Donald, look what's going on in our country. The one we grew up in is not the one we're living in, is it?
No, it's changing rapidly, and it's changing for the worse, and something has to be done about it quickly, or we're going to have a whole different place.
Donald, I open up the local San Francisco paper. Tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Strong bipartisan support for 1% increase, poll shows. And then you read the poll. It was done by the California Federation of Teachers. You live in Florida, which is a tax-free state, and you run an incredible organization, the Mar-a-Lago. Isn't it true that many, many of the wealthy in Florida are, in fact, tax refugees from other states like California?
Well, it's true. I mean, very many came down from New York. They came down from other locations because Florida does have a very friendly tax area. And, you know, you can even take it to an international level when they start taxing you at a high level from the federal government. I know people. These are not people that particularly love anything. These are hardened veteran business people, and all they care about is the dollar. And maybe that's very unfortunate. But they'll leave the country in order to get tax refuge. And you're really competing now on a world basis, just like New York is competing with Florida and New Jersey and everything else. So you really have to be very careful with the tax rates, or you're going to lose a lot of great and very productive people.
Donald, in the state of California, we're paying 10.5% state tax. They want to add another 1%. There is a point at which people will flee. It's interesting what you just raised. Which countries are tax havens, in essence? I don't know of any.
Well, you can go to places like Switzerland, and, you know, frankly, there are a lot of very beautiful countries that really do cater to very wealthy people and corporations of very wealthy people. And people do leave. I mean, they will move around, and they're trying to find the best tax haven. And I don't say that in a negative way. I think it's something I wouldn't want to do necessarily. I'm very proud of this country. But
right.
People do leave, just like they leave New York, just like they leave, frankly, California, because California is losing a lot of people to other states.
Right. Well, manufacturing has gone a long time ago because of the draconian red tape. Donald, let's talk about Libya, because it's a nightmare. He went in, it's unconstitutional, he bypassed Congress, he signed a secret deal to put in CIA operatives. Nothing he did was legal. Even his left wing admits that. And now they're saying people who were yesterday peaceniks, like Dianne Feinstein, are saying, go in and assassinate Gaddafi. It's shocking to me to look at this. They don't know what they're doing, do they?
Well, you know, the other thing is they really don't know who the people, who the so-called rebels are. I heard your show the other day, yesterday to be exact, and you were saying about the word rebel. It sounds so brilliant. It sounds so wonderful, like these are the greatest people. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm hearing they're very closely associated with Iran. I'm hearing they're very closely associated with Al-Qaeda. I'm hearing all sorts of things about these people, and you say, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because that would actually be worse than Gaddafi, if that's the case. In my opinion, it would probably be worse, a step worse than Gaddafi. So we're spending all of this money. We're doing it because the Arab League, which is the wealthiest countries in the world, by the way, Saudi Arabia and various others. I won't get into the names because I know them all very well, and I have friends there. But, I mean, all of these countries told us to do it, and we did it. And every time we send up a missile, it's $1.5 million. We've spent over $1 billion in the last week and a half. And they have no intention of reimbursing us. They just wanted to get rid of Gaddafi. It looks like he's a lot tougher than Obama. I mean, despite the fact that we have 1,000% advantage militarily.
Right.
And it looks like he's driving the so-called glorious rebels back. And, you know, it's a pretty pathetic situation.
It is. It makes America look very weak. Very indecisive. You and I both know from the time we were children, even though we grew up on different sides of Union Turnpike, so to speak,
That's right.
you never start a fight that you don't think you can win. Did they not think this through, Donald?
Well, this was amazing because in the same speech, almost the same sentence, he said that we want to get rid of Obama, and then he said, but we'll do nothing to get rid of him, right? So he turns out to be a lot tougher cookie. But if you think of it, we want to get rid of it, but we don't want to do anything to help the regime change, right? And I was listening to this speech, and I'm saying, am I hearing correctly? You either want to get rid of him or you don't want to get rid of him. I mean, the truth is we don't know what we're doing.
When you say we, you mean the administration seems to
be
taking...
I'm talking about our leaders. Our leaders.
They're taking it a day at a time. Donald, they seem to be doing this on the fly. They lurch, they jerk. According to what I've been able to discern, Obama himself was not even in favor of military action, nor was Gates. It was conducted by Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Miss Rice, who decided to go to war against Gaddafi without much thought about how to go about doing it. What kind of leadership is this? The answer
and
is...
They didn't know, very importantly, who we're fighting for. I mean, they thought the rebels were these glorious, wonderful people, and then now all of a sudden they're getting reports that 3 years ago they were shooting at us in Iraq, and they were fighting us, and, you know, it's just inconceivable, and now it looks like it's a war that, frankly, Gaddafi might end up winning, and we may be afraid to get rid of Gaddafi. I think they're finding out things about the rebels that are so bad that they're afraid to get rid of Gaddafi because they think the rebels are going to be worse.
And you know, Donald, there's no... See, but you have a show where you can say to people who are stupid, you're fired. We don't have a government where we can say you're fired. We live in a dictatorship that is punctuated by democracy every 4 years. And unfortunately, we're stuck with this group of amateurs for 2 more years. God only knows what other damage they're liable to do. So let's talk about the other damage they're liable to do. If you were president, if you do decide to run and you were president, I know you've talked about making people pay their fair share. If the Arab League were the ones who egged us on through Hillary Clinton, why don't they pick up the cost of the war? They have nothing but money.
Well, I've been saying this. They have trillions of dollars in the bank. They're the richest countries in the world. They've been ripping us off for years. I mean, just ripping us. 12 men sit around a table, and in this case all men, they sit around a table and they set the price of oil. Oil, I don't know if you heard, but oil reached almost $108 a barrel today, and that's going to be the end of our economy because you can't pay that. And, you know, I see these poor guys, they're investing in the stock. Well, the fact is when oil goes above $40, we have trouble. It's now at $108. And it's a real problem. And to think that we'd go in and not even ask them for the money that it's going to cost to get rid of their enemy, Gaddafi, is inconceivable.
Well, it's the same with every other military venture. We've talked about this on the show before, Donald. We spent, what, $3 trillion liberating the Shia of Iraq? And they're sitting on one of the largest oil reserves in the world? And Bush never demanded reparations in the form of free oil? What's that all about?
Well, you know, the most interesting thing of all is Iraq, because we went in, we hit somebody that, frankly, we could have gone after the people that really, you know, the terrorists didn't come from Iraq that knocked down the World Trade Center. They came from other places. Namely, if you look, they put their families on the plane. You know where they headed? Back to Saudi Arabia.
Right. They came from Saudi Arabia, of course.
They headed back to Saudi Arabia. They didn't head to Iraq. But regardless, so we got stuck in this war. We've spent $1.5 trillion. We've lost thousands of great people. We have people walking around with one arm and one leg all over. And what do we have? The minute, and I said this last night on Bill O'Reilly's show, within 15 minutes after we leave, Iran, because we have so denuded and weakened that, you know, for years, for hundreds of years, they'd be fighting each other back and forth. We have so denuded Iraq that within minutes after we leave, they're not going to mess when we're there, but once we leave, we're not going back because we don't have the heart to go back after that mess after so many years. Iran is going to come over, take over Iraq and the oil fields. And by the way, you just said it. People don't realize this. The second largest oil fields in the world after Saudi Arabia. So Iran is going to come in. They're going to take over the oil fields. And all of those people will have died in vain because that's what we're going to get. We're going to get that. So what I said last night, very simply, if I know, and I know for a fact, Iran is going to come up, they probably won't even have to fire a shot because if you look at what's happening, they're getting along very well with the so-called leaders of Iraq. I don't know if you see
what they are the leaders, but it's, look, we toppled the Sunni leader who was the monster Saddam who kept the Shia population under control through terrorism, frankly.
And who killed terrorists, by the way, Saddam.
That's exactly right. He was actually... He was our best friend. Saddam was our best friend, and everybody knows that.
Well, I will say this. He killed terrorists. You didn't have terrorists in Iraq. He used to shoot them. He used to kill them immediately. Now it's the Harvard of terrorism. You want to become a terrorist, you go to Iraq. Here's the point. You go... If we know that Iran is taking over the oil, and we know that's going to happen, we should take the oil, and we should stay there. You know, in the old days, when you fought a war, you took over a country, you fought a war, you won. We fight a war. After everyone's crippled, we go and we leave. And people that we never even heard of take over the country. And by the way, these people will be just like Saddam. They'll be building palaces to themselves very shortly. It is unbelievable. So, what I say, second largest oil fields in the world, if we know, and we know, that Iran will come in, we say, Iran, you just stay right over there. Don't worry about it. We wrap our soldiers around the oil fields. We take over the oil fields. We pay ourselves back $1.5 trillion. We give some money to Britain. They spent plenty. And others that helped us. And we also take care of Iraq. We give plenty. There's plenty for everybody. They have $15 trillion worth. I don't know if you know this. $15 trillion worth of oil underground. There's plenty to go around for everybody.
Well, I agree with you on that. This was a blunder of Bush, not of Obama. But now Obama seems to be making the same type of blunder on a smaller scale in Libya. And I don't know who advises these people is the issue. What about drilling in America? I am a conservationist. I have been all my life. I have the bona fides for it. I don't want to have to reiterate them, Donald. But there comes a point at which you have to drill, drill, and drill. We can drill in the Rocky Mountains. We can drill in the Alaskan slope. We can drill off the shore of California. Would you agree that we're not drilling sufficiently for our own needs?
Well, in many ways, we're not drilling at all. I mean, these people that are trying to go back into the Gulf, they're having a hell of a time getting back in there, and they're just now getting certain clearances, and nobody knows what took so long. We should drill all over. I mean, we should drill. I've gotten many environmental awards. I'm very environmentally conscious. I have gotten so many awards, And people don't know that about me. But we should drill. We have to drill. And you can drill in a very responsible manner. The other thing we should use is coal. We have more coal than anybody. We should use coal. Now, I don't know, when they use the word clean coal, I don't know if it's perfectly clean. But when you look at what's happening in Japan, you know, all of a sudden people are changing their mind on nuclear, and I'm not sure I blame them.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. There is low sulfur coal plant. There are low sulfur coal plants that are being shut down as we speak. They're perfectly fine and very efficient. Donald, you do business with a lot of folks all around the world and in China. You've told me that you've told the show, you mentioned on the show that the Chinese laugh at us for the foolishness of our leaders. Is it that they're naive, or is it they're just simply bought and paid for, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I used to think that they were, frankly, naive and or stupid. I don't know which is the better word to describe it. But I actually think that if you go down to Washington and you try and get a lobbyist, and then you say, here, we want a lobbyist against, let's say, OPEC, maybe you can get some guy that just graduated from college. But for the most part, they're all taken because OPEC has them all. I mean, they have so many lobbyists, it's incredible. China has so many lobbyists. So I really think that the lobbyists have a lot to do with it. You know, they go in representing China. They go in representing OPEC. And these politicians are like, you know, they don't want to mess around because they have fundraisers. The lobbyists give them big fundraisers for little political campaigns. It's hard to believe. And what I told you last time, and I say it again because it happened recently, I know the people of the world. I know the very rich people of the world. Many times they buy apartments. I sold one recently for $33 million. I sold one for $40 million. I saw a lot of very wealthy people apartments. Okay, so I get to know a lot of people. People from other countries cannot believe how stupid our leadership is. They cannot believe. And by the way, I don't hold it against the other countries. If China can get away with what they're doing with the manipulation of their currency and everything, I say my hat is off to you.
There you go.
But it's hard to believe. And the people that I know, now they're not as open with me now because they're hearing I'm considering running. They're saying to one of them, said, oh my God, I can't believe I told you all this stuff. I had no idea you'd ever do this. But they say to me, previously, we cannot believe that you guys allow us to get away with it. And then they all laugh, and everybody laughs, and everybody's having a good time, but they can't believe it. And then the president of China that just rips us off, we give him a state dinner at the White House fit for a king, which of course he is, essentially. But we give him a dinner honoring him at the White House instead of saying, you know, like, folks, there's not going to be any dinner. And we have such power over them. What a lot of people don't realize, we are rebuilding China because they're doing so much. They made $300 billion. They're going to make more than $300 billion on us. Let's call it profit this year. $300 billion. In addition to that, they're taking all our jobs. They're making all our things. The funny thing is, then they take all that money and they loan it back to us, and we pay them interest. So, with the right thinking in the White House, that could be reversed so quickly. Your head would spin. And believe me, and I know something about this. Believe me, we have the cards. They don't have the cards.
Well, Donald, if you do decide to run for the presidency, I will nominate myself to run the Environmental Protection Agency, which I would eliminate within the first year. because I have the credentials to do so. And believe me, nobody wants to protect the airs, waters, and places better than me. I've been doing it most of my life. Donald, please stay with us for five more minutes because I want to get one or two questions in from around the country. You got another minute for us?
I will do that, Michael.
Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so. I want it for you.
It is the Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation show. Whatever. Could you play the music again? It always dies out the minute I say a word.
Don't make me wait.
But now you kill it. Welcome to the program. We have Donald Trump waiting on the other line from Mar-a-Lago. Donald, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Donald, you are in Florida at this time?
I am.
You know, we have almost no time. I want to ask you something. You know, you heard my show yesterday, and we talked about it, and you said I'm a man of practical nature. I don't know how you put it, commonsensical or something to that
effect. Common sense. I said you are a man of great common sense.
Did you hear my comments that when I was a young kid, grew up over there on the other side of the Union Turnpike, I'd go to work with my dad on Saturdays, and he would say to me, no radio, because we had to go to work. He said, you got to get serious. He didn't even want me to listen to the radio.
Right.
I'm mentioning it. It's kind of jokey in a way, but, you know, your dad was a very successful real estate developer himself, and, of course, you went way beyond him. Were you trained from a young age in the business? Did he take you to work in his world?
Michael, I watched my father, and my father was a builder in Queens and in Brooklyn. And he yes. built houses, and then he built some apartment houses and things. And he was a really good builder. And I watched him, and I learned two things. Number one, I learned a little bit about negotiating, and I learned lots of different things about real estate. But I also learned, you know, he was a very hard worker. He'd work all the time. He loved it.
Right.
And he was a happy man. And I saw that, gee, you can work really hard and be happy. And that was something
Isn't that
I actually
something?
Learned from my father.
Isn't that something? That's probably one of the greatest gifts a man could give his son. Because the ethos in America is the opposite, which is that work makes you unhappy. And gambling, for example, I shouldn't say it because you're... But doing nothing makes you happy. It's crazy. I myself am a seven-day-a-week guy. Otherwise, I get bored to death.
Well, there Donald, is something nice about it. I mean, there's something great about achievement. There's something great. And this country has really lost a lot of that spirit, and we have to get it back.
Well, I hope you do decide to run, not just because I've gotten to know you, and I think that you're a sincere guy, but because America's in very deep trouble. We don't have sincere men who can lead us out of this swamp we're in, Donald. And many people are saying we need a practical guy who's a businessman, who has compassion, who can save us. And I really do hope you run, Donald, truthfully.
Well, I'm really thinking about it. I'm going to make a decision by June, and you may be pleasantly surprised. I will... I just hate what's happening to this country. We're not respected. We're not successful anymore. And at this rate, I will tell you, we will not be a great country for long. So I am giving...
All right, I'll tell you what. On that, in that regard, if you do run, I want the FCC, not the environment, not the EPA.
Okay, you have a deal.
Okay, I have absolutely no ambition in government. I want you to know that right off the bat. I'm very happy writing books and doing radio. Donald Trump, thanks a million for sharing a few minutes with us on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The moon out tonight. All right, let's just have a good time now. We've covered all the news. It's like a broken record already. We have a moron in the White House surrounded by goons and jackals who are on the take. Any other questions? Unbelievable to me how you don't see what's going on. A double talker like this could never get away with it in a real democracy. Well, when we had a press, he couldn't get away with it. But when you have a bunch of prostitutes running the newspapers, he can get away with anything. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. You know what I want to talk about? There's a spate of television talking heads like Judge Judy who have started to speak gibberish. And conspiracists are saying that the U.S. military is beaming them with microwaves. Government is experimenting on them using microwaves as a mind control weapon. So Judge Judy, they said, had to stop her courtroom TV show on Wednesday after descending into nonsensical language. To me, it's a non-story because she always speaks nonsensical language. Who else would watch a judge on television but an idiot who sits at home eating candy and collects welfare? The largest, most important, excuse me, the most frequently watched television show in America is this idiot judge having fake trials with fake people. It's all gibberish. Popular theory being circulated online blames the U.S. military's supposed research into using microwaves as a mind control weapon. So she makes £38 million a year, which is about, what, $50 million or more? I don't know, $60 million, to talk gibberish. So when she actually spoke gibberish, they think it's the government doing it to her. Serene Branson, whoever she is, gave a Grammys report where she had a similar meltdown in January. If you look at this ditz, this blonde ditz, Serene Branson, if you watch the Grammys, it's all gibberish. So I don't understand why this would be a news story. Then there's a guy in Canada who started to speak in an unintelligible fashion. So now they claim that it's the government doing it. And they're beaming microwaves. How come I haven't broken down into gibberish yet? I've not yet ever spoken gibberish in 17 years on air, and I'm older than all of them. How come I haven't spoken gibberish? It's because if you try to focus on speaking the truth and you don't read a teleprompter, you will not speak gibberish. If, on the other hand, you read teleprompters and you only speak gibberish, occasionally you'll actually break into the actual language of gibberish. You want to comment on that? Don't call my show because it'll lower the IQ of the audience. Let's take callers instead. New York, WOR, Zach, welcome. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Called you a bunch of times. I'm an Israeli. I'm 23, an American. And I read that story of a Russian billionaire that bought, you know, $130 million house. And when I read his name, I was like, please, he's not Jewish. Please, he's not Jewish. And I read it, Wikipedia'd it, he's Jewish. And the truth is, we are really messing up as a Jewish people. This is not what we're supposed to be about. When you read about all these big names, I've done so much volunteer work, and I just...
There's so much wrong with what you just said. You mean because he's Jewish and he's a billionaire, he shouldn't buy a big house?
No, there comes a point. There comes a point where it's like we're supposed to be the light upon the world, and the light upon the world is we shouldn't be excessive. And I feel like...
All right, so Zach, please, what, I don't know, are you a young guy, like a dreamer or something?
You know, I am a young guy, and I am a dreamer, and I understand.
Okay, I respect dreamers, but I don't know what world you're living in where you think that all Jewish people are born and they're told they're supposed to be a light unto the world. Haven't you looked around Manhattan recently?
No, it's terrible, I'm telling you. I'm saying we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And it's
why don't we start with George Soros, Charles Schumer? Shall I go down the list? Barbara Boxer. Let's forget Mr. Oren, who just bought a $100 million house. Let's start with American Jewish politicians and ask yourself if they're a light unto the world. You want to start with them?
I agree with you. It hurts me very deeply to see bringing our own destruction.
Well, talk to your rabbis. Talk to the great Sanhedrin in New York there. Ask them why they don't ever say a word. They're always so silent. Where are they in leadership?
They're traitors. It's traitors. It's lost material.
Not one Jewish organization would come to my aid when I was banned from Britain, even though I committed no crime. And I appeal to all of them. I appeal to the ADL. I appeal to every Jewish group in this country. Not one of them would respond to my appeal. Okay, I found out how the...
Michael, I am Jewish, and I've been listening to you since I was 15, and every word you say, I agree with. I'm addicted to your show.
Well, I don't know whether addicted. You're listening to a guy who has a good common sense, and I can back up what I say with the facts, and if you like it, you like it. That's all. Obviously, there's something that I do that's right because it's been on the air for 17 years. I didn't start yesterday. I'm not going anywhere tomorrow unless they beam microwaves at me and I start speaking gibberish.
But you're the type of Jew I love and I respect and I identify with, and we need more of these people because I need to... For Jewish role models, I need a Michael Savage. I can't have a Ben Stiller or a Larry David, and it hurts me.
Why not have Howard Stern? He's a prime example of a great Jew, isn't he?
That's why we're dying as a people.
Why don't you look at Adam Sandler? You want me to give a list of wonderful Hollywood actors and ask yourself what they're doing for your people?
If we did one by one, we'd go on for 10 days. More. I think we'd go on for the rest of the eternity. It's horrible.
All right, so now you understand where anti-Semitism comes from. It doesn't get come out of the air. No matter what the pressure groups say, okay, what you're saying is something quite interesting here. What you're saying is what, people with so much money should give it away?
No, I'm saying that as Jewish people, we're not like to begin with, so we need to be very careful in what we do. And, you know, there's stereotypes about us with money, and so if we have money... We need to be good with it. We can't, you know, once we buy a $130 million house, people go, oh, there's a Jew buying a $130 million house. And, you know, it's true. If we're
What about if a non-Jew buys a $130 million house? What if a black basketball star buys a $130 million house? Is it bad for the blacks?
You know, they don't have the type of stigma we have. And so
I think you're living, you know, look, you mean well, and I think your heart's in the right place, but you're dealing with pure stereotypes. You think you can tell an entire race of people how to behave simply based upon what you think they should be doing.
I think on a biblical scale, we're supposed to help each other, and we're not supposed to live. You know, for 100, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, you know, people should live good, but they're, it's like that guy in India.
Let's start with, did you just hear my last hour? I had Donald Trump on, right?
I love Donald Trump, and I hope he runs.
Wait, hold it. Donald Trump is not Jewish. He's worth billions. So what does that say about anything?
It's not wrong to be a billionaire.
And the man is ostentatious. The man likes to live well. The man likes to show what he has. This is his right. He earned it. But it's not a stereotype of Christians, is it?
No, but Donald Trump is a conservative that gives back. You don't see that among the Jewish community as much as you do among...
That's what you're saying. It's a little different story.
Okay, that's what I mean. Like, when you look at that guy, Sheldon, whatever... he gives a lot to the Jewish community. He's more of a conservative. Donald Trump, yes, okay, if you want to buy a $30 million house, fine, do it. But Donald Trump is a conservative.
What if I want to buy a $32 million house? Is that illegal? I'm joking. What do you think of Larry David for the Jewish people? Does he make you proud as a Jew, Larry David?
He doesn't, man. As an Israeli, like we're, you know, we get dirty. We build stuff. And then you see these American Jewish people who, it's like, that's why I think American Judaism is dying, because children need to be proud. They need to look up to something. Do they want to be Larry David? Do they want to be this putz running around? It's horrible.
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I hear you screaming from your guts, but it's not going to change a thing, Zach. It's not going to change a thing. Let me leave you with a thought, as if you're a relative of mine, I would say the same thing. You're looking for an idealized vision of man. And you're not going to find that in the world that we live in. You're going to find it in literature. You're going to find it in paintings. You're going to find it in statues. You're going to find it in the Bible. Don't be so hard on yourself, Zach. Try to be a light unto yourself and let the world go to hell. How's that? Does that work for you?
It does. You do it for me every time, Michael. Please send me a
Okay. Yeah. Write that one down. Set it in stone. Be a light unto yourself and let the world go to hell. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I listen to a song like this, and a part of me wants to just let it all go and swing on a tree, on a rope. I don't mean around my neck. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, yesterday after the show was over, I went out on a little boat. I have a 22-foot boat, which I really love. It's a little boat. I have a big boat. I have a little boat. I go on a little boat with my dog, Teddy, and it was a very hot day, and you'd want to go. Like, a heat wave came out of nowhere after the rain, the heat. So I go out, end of the show, near the sunset time, but it was still really hot. And I just putted around 5-6 knots over to a little cove I know. And I cut the engine, and I drifted with the dog sitting next to me. And I leaned back on the back of the boat under the canopy, and I looked at some houses, you know, over there in the cove. And I saw children, maybe 9-10 years old, swinging on a long rope, on a very large oak tree. And all I could see were the children, the rope going back and forth and back and forth, and I heard the laughter of children. And my mind drifted back to my own childhood, to my own life when things were simpler. And I started to say to myself, what the hell am I knocking my head against the wall for? We got an unqualified, corrupt bum that they put into the White House. The most evil people on earth are wrecking the country, stealing our freedoms, robbing our tax base, debasing every institution that we believe in. What am I killing myself for? I was 69 years old yesterday. I've worked hard all my life. I've worked since I'm 5 years old. I could have retired a while ago, and I keep going. Why? What am I doing it for? My ego? What I want you to say I'm a great guy? You want me to buy my next book or listen to my next show? What am I doing this for? I ask myself. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, I'm doing it because I don't know how to stop. I'll be honest with you. I had to retrain myself at age 40 to work 7 days a week because otherwise I would have fallen off the edge of the earth. Things had gotten bad, and there was no way to do it halfway. Either you do it 100% or you don't do it at all, like everything else on earth. Either you go into it 100% or you don't do it at all because you're not going to succeed. That's number one. So now that I've succeeded in a way beyond anything I've ever dreamed of, not beyond my wildest dreams, but beyond in many ways, why am I continuing to do it? Because there's no stopping at number one. It's a momentum of my life. But number two, and you got to believe me. It's because I'm an immigrant son. I believe that this is a great country. I still believe it can be saved. And in a way, I'm sending out like life preservers to a lot of people who I know don't know which way to turn. They know we have a shill in the White House that makes them sick. Every time the man speaks, they want to climb up a wall. I never saw anything like this. It was bad enough under the dyslexic Bush. We had 8 years of a mangled. I think he was on gibberish. He gave a speech. People were crawling up a wall. So all of a sudden, the controllers figured, okay, we'll get somebody. Let's figure this out. He'll be part white, part black. He'll be super literate. He'll have a deep voice. He'll never make a mistake with his voice. Bingo, there it is. Now they're in the White House. They're in. It's like the 1918 World Series. No one could believe they could fix it. They fixed the presidency. So here we are. The first lady lectures us on healthy foods and plants a garden. And then I look up the dinner. You say, well, what are you focusing on the trivia for? Because sometimes you get devils in the details. Yesterday, Michelle Obama gave a speech about planting zucchini and broccoli and this and that. I got the menu from the dinner they put on in Harlem the other day, Obama and First Lady Michelle. And here's what they ate. Cornbread with honey butter. Braised short ribs. Honey glazed chokes. Dessert. Dessert is not carrots. Chocolate cake with rhubarb compote. Buttermilk sherbet. Sweet potato donuts with cinnamon and brown sugar. If I were to design a diet to give people a heart attack, it couldn't be a better design than this. So you say, well, why are you reading a menu like this? Because it's everywhere you turn, it's nothing but BS. How do you take it? You gag on it. So is any wonder I started to drift off on the back of my boat and just watch the children back and forth? They were about, I don't know, maybe half a mile. I couldn't make out the children's faces. It had become a blur of just swinging on a rope on a big oak tree on a hot afternoon. The sun had gone down behind them, the mountain, and the kids were swinging, and I was sitting on the back of the boat. I wasn't even drinking anything, honestly, just sitting with the little dog and watching the kids swing, and all I was thinking was, this has to come to an end. I'm going to stop. I'm just going to walk off the set. I'm going to say goodnight one day, and that's going to be it, because I'm not going to do this. It comes a point where you know it's hopeless. The corruption is so overwhelming in America right now. And the Republican Party is so impotent. They're so deballed. There's no other word for the John Boehner Republicans. Deballed. 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 There's no other words for it. I saw with the crying. I saw with the pink ties. I knew what was coming. I warned you about it. I know personally that John Boehner is supposedly a very nice man from a fine family who's very conservative, but he doesn't have the horsepower for the job. No fire in the belly means no fire on the floor of Congress, means that women like Feinstein will roll him over every day. It means yentas like Boxer will roll him around like he's a pack of camels. They'll move him around like he's a cigarette and stub it out on the floor. Where are the men who are going to save this country? Where are the women with fire? We have them. You got Palin, you got Bachman. You got some of the women, and the vermin in the media who hate women are ripping them to shreds. The anti-women vermin in the media are ripping them to shreds. The women haters in the media, let me say it until you finally get it through your stupid heads, you liberals. The women haters in the media are ripping the real patriotic women to shreds. You know who they like? The communist harridans like Boxer, Feinstein, Mikulski, the entire pack of corrupt vermin. That's who they support. I say to myself in the back of my head as I watch the children swinging a mile away from the back of my boat that one day this must come to an end. And one day this shall come to an end. One way or the other, it shall come to an end. Only I hope it shall not be this day. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation for more news, views, and reviews.
Savage. Maria, I'm gonna feed you, but my real name is girl.
It is the Savage Nation. Sitting here at the microphone, fighting the good fight. So as I say, driving into San Francisco today to go to the studio, I come over the Golden Gate Bridge. And the minute you enter the city of San Francisco, the roads are broken. You could break your tires. This is right off an iconic structure like the GG Bridge. You'd think the schmucks who run the city would patch a hole? No. Where does the money go? Well, they steal it, number one. They give it for services to every ethnic gangster group in the United States of America who demands new cars, new trucks, free dental, free medical, take me to the pharmacist, take me to the hospital. You never saw anything like this. And nobody will stand up to any of the ethnic groups. Why? Because they'll lose that voting block. And they figure, well, if I have the courage to stand up to that ethnic group, the other guy, Joe Blow, won't. He'll say that they should get even more, and I won't get reelected. So that's what happens when you have democracy. At the end of the road, democracy fails the people. At the end of the road, democracy is a terrible system. It doesn't work. We have a dictatorship that is punctuated by occasional democracy every few years. That's all we have. The participatory democracy I speak of in a parliamentary system is a far better system in my estimation, because in our country right now, there'd be a vote of no confidence against Obama. He'd be thrown out of office. He'd be forced to leave. He'd go back to a staple gun in the streets of Chicago. I don't know who he'd get, but okay, it'd be better than what we have here. This was a complete and total fake-out job. But we don't have a parliamentary system, so we have two more years for him to impose his transformational social policies upon this country. Remember what Bush did in only 3 last months. And I was the only talk show host in America who saw it coming and warned you. In October of the last year of Bush's reign, I warned you that he wasn't finished. He only got started. And that's when they collapsed the economy. That's when they permitted banks that were privately held banks to become commercial banks in order to benefit from TARP money. That's when they took $1 trillion out of the economy and gave it to their friends. And as we learned today on the Drudge Report, most of the money was given to foreign banks. Bernanke should be in jail. I had never trusted that bum. Not just because of his whiskers. I knew he was too high and mighty. He should go to prison for what he did. Hid it from the American people? For 2 years now he's been hiding where he put the money? I don't care that they paid it back. Half the fraud that's conducted on Wall Street, they pay it back after they pull off the Ponzi scheme. That doesn't make it legal. What Bernanke did is criminal. He should go to prison. That's all. Give him a little trial, old Bernanke. We'll see how holy he is. I need some rock and roll. U.S. to pull attack planes from Libya. You hear this? You hear what we have running the military now? Pentagon announced we'll pull U.S. military planes out of the international air campaign in Libya and hopes NATO can pick up the slack. I guess the Norwegian Air Force will pick it up. Maybe the Danish Air Force will pick up the fight. God only knows, Norway, I think, contributed 3 Cessna Piper Cubs for spotter planes. Denmark produced 4 hookers for the war effort. They sent them in from Amsterdam to entertain the troops. Are you kidding me? The Pentagon hopes NATO can pick up the slack? This is what's running the country today. So the things are bad all over. So you see it all in Michelle's menu in Harlem. People pay $30,000, $800, $30,800 per plate, 50 people, to go to some celebrity chef at a restaurant in Harlem. I wouldn't give this menu to my dog, what he cooked for them. I wouldn't let my dog eat it. It would give him diabetes, atherosclerosis, and put him on the road to obesity. First course, cornbread with honey butter. That's a classy dish. Next course, braised short ribs, atherosclerosis. Comes with honey glazed chokes, diabetes, and obesity. For dessert, you could have a nice diabetes and obesity dessert prepared especially for Michelle called chocolate cake with rhubarb compote. That's a nice healthy dish. And if you like really want to get sick, you can have sweet potato donuts with cinnamon and brown sugar. Who comes up with this garbage? Would you serve this to your children? Well, if you want to kill your husband, you serve him a dinner like this. So you say the next day she's planting asparagus and cauliflower using kitty prop. Kitty prop to tell you that she's really, give me a break from it all. What else do you want? What else is in the news? It gets worse by the day. I don't know. I should spend the rest of my life doing what? Watch children on swings? I have 5,000 people on Facebook. I never even write to them. They don't hear from me. I don't write to them. I don't let them talk to me. Your doggy wants... the garbage here in San Francisco. What a bunch of phony creeps in the newspaper business. Look at this. Everything is backwards. They run a fake poll. Tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Strong bipartisan support for 1% increase. Poll shows by Mao Tse-Tung Jr., Joe Garofoli, pimp. How could this man get up in the morning and face himself and call himself a journalist? The poll was conducted by the California Federation of Teachers for the San Francisco newspaper. How could a guy get up in the morning and say to himself, I'm still a journalist? Unbelievable to me. What you say, well, does he have no shame? The guy doesn't know what shame is. Use drugs long enough, there's no conscience left. I don't mean him in particular. I don't know the man personally. Tampa, Florida, Peggy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm going to ask you, please, not to leave. It's a bunker mentality almost now, and we look so forward to hearing you. It's like in the World War II, people huddled around the radio in London, bombs falling, and listening to the BBC with recipes for making food out of declining rations and cans of spam.
You're living in a siege mentality, and I'm the voice of I'm the BBC in the war. That's very funny.
Poetry and stories and music and advice, that relationship.
I know. It's like, oh, how can I do all of this? The BBC couldn't produce what I produce.
Wait, don't stop.
You know, Peggy, I got to tell you something. I checked my Talkers magazine, just came out with the latest ratings of shows, and the show has gone up by 1 million listeners. Would you believe it? It's gone up 1 million, and it's number three. It's still number three.
Congratulations.
Still number three. And it's only number three because of the time of day that it starts, not because it's number three. It's the most important show in the country.
I think so. We've lost.
Well, I can't help that. You know, that happens. Things happen. You're lucky you even get an hour of me. I'm glad. Peggy, let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Teddy. Stay in the line. We'll send it off to you shortly. Trickle Up Teddy is my next book. Trickle Down Teddy. Would you believe a dog has such sensitivity that they like on a hot day, they love a cool breeze, that you know, right? They're sentient creatures. He loves to sit in the back of the boat and stare at the rivulets of water that come at you, like the low waves that come at you, like when tides are changing. I don't mean big, splashy, stupid, idiotic waves. I'm talking about a low ripple across the bay. You could see the dog literally gazing at the action of the water. How could you eat an animal after that? Think about it. I don't even want to eat it like a cow after that, but I can't make that move. I have to divide it. I'm getting sentimental maybe. Who knows? I'm not going to become a vegetarian. I can't. It's too yin. I can't live on such a yin diet. I get sick. I tried to live purely on a yin. You get feminized, number one. You wind up feeling like, you know, weak and moody and like crying. You know, I don't want to live. You need meat. You need alcohol. That's what's the only thing could save this country is for men to start eating like men again. High portions of beef and a lot of alcohol. And then we can conquer the world again. Look what's happened since we started with the soy milk. Everyone's so clean. Look at all the San Franciscans, all the men here, how clean they are. Their diets are so clean and they're all detoxed. Take a look at them. Take a look at what you have here, all the detoxed men. You can roll them over with a pea shooter. Give them a hamburger and a glass of wine. Maybe they become men again. They grow some hair on their minds. Maybe they grow some hair on their brains. I went out before the show. I happen to love walking around the city to observe humanity. And it's a hot day here. It's horrible. It's disgusting. Humid. It feels like New York in August. Last week I needed an overcoat and a turtleneck. Today I'm walking around in an undershirt. You don't know which way to turn. I expect to turn the radio on and hear Mel Allen with the Yankees in the 1950s. Horrible. So all the tourists are out there down on the waterfront drinking, eating. God bless them. I enjoy watching it. And I'm walking back for the show. A group of about 100 schmucks in clown hats and horns and green hair and noses and Clarabelle signs that say I'm an idiot. They're like a ruckus group. Are running through the shopping center, making noise. One guy had his private parts hanging out, no clothing. Just walking around naked, paddy wagon, for public indecency. Walking around with his private part hanging out, like it's perfectly normal. Now, is this the kind of city that you want to live in? Is it any wonder the Muslim Brotherhood is here making such inroads into this country when you have such weaklings and drug addicts and psychos walking around? What would you do if you were them and you had respect for your women and children? Let me ask you what you would. Let's put the other side of it. What would you do if you were a traditional Muslim man who emigrated to this country and you see people like this running in the streets with their, you know what, hanging out, dressed up like lunatic morons? Would you be afraid of them, number one? And number two, wouldn't you want to control them for your daughter? Would you want your daughter to see a dirty bum like that walking around with his all hanging out? You'd want to go over to cops? They're hiding in the station house. Because if the cops did anything, they'd lose their job. Because the psychos are running the asylum here in San Francisco. So you say, well, why do I come to the city then? Why don't I just move to Texas or Florida? Well, for one, they're not going to drive me out. I'll drive them out first. That's number one. The game isn't over yet. I live for the day that we get cops back with nightsticks and the streets are cleaned up. And anyone who walks around with their, you know, gets thrown into a paddy wagon. Let's start with that. Let's start with public nudity. Where is the city? What kind of city is this? Young children going to walk around and see a man like that with his, you know what? What is this? I ask myself. I left my heart, all the schmaltz you hear. You know, come and have a seafood cocktail. Go eat a seafood cocktail. Take a look at the degenerate bums on the way and have your car broken into while you're eating and then drive your car home and break a tire on a broken pothole, on a broken highway. You ask yourself, who's running the city? We just had one genius leave, Eddie Toussaint Newsome. He was so good they moved him up to Sacramento to work with Moonbeam. Moonbeam and Eddie Toussaint Newsome are now running the state. Their solution is tax the rich. Why don't you start by cutting out public social services for illegal aliens? See how many billions you can clean up then. No bilingual education. Why don't you start with that, Jerry? No bilingual education, no medical care for the illegal aliens. They don't deserve it. They're not citizens, Jerry. How many billions would that save the state? How much would that save, Jerry Brown? Not one word about illegal aliens and the cost per year. The exact budget deficit of $25 billion is caused by the illegal alien mafia. Bingo. Clean it right up. Medication, education. $25 billion right there. Then go down the list like the Grim Reaper with all of the immigrant groups that are raping the city with services. New buses driving them around to medical appointments, picking them up in their house, chauffeuring them around. One ethnic group after another. Where would that money come from? The city, state. That adds up, you know, Jerry. So now who's running San Francisco? Nobody. That's why men can run around with their private parts hanging out. And you as a man, what if you're visiting from somewhere and you see a bum like that walking around with a crowd of people? What would you want to do to him? Your instinct is to punch him in the nose and have him arrested. But in this upside-down Alice in Wonderland, sick, disgusting, degenerate city, you'd get arrested. So, it's a hot day. It's a Friday. I'm sweating from head to toe. There's no air conditioning allowed in the city this time of year. It's like Poland. They turn the electricity on and off. I'll be right back. Savage.
I wonder who wrote the book of love.
Obama's limo exempt from new green policy, says the Drudge Report. Foreign banks took most from Fed. Bernanke kept secret. I never trusted the Barbasol man. I knew he was holier than thou. I knew something was wrong. He should be indicted immediately. If Bernanke lent money from the Fed to foreign governments and kept it secret, I don't care that they paid it back. Jail. Jail. I'm tired of this. Let somebody pay for their crimes. Somebody, for God's sakes. You see what happened at the L.A., the Dodgers game over there on the West Coast? Dodgers fans, you're hearing Dodgers uniform. Any grown man who wears a uniform after a game right away should have their head examined. Dodgers fans, you hear? Approach Giants fans and beat them up in the parking lot. Almost killing one of them. And by the way, no mention of the race involved in either of the perpetrator nor the victim. LAPD asks for help in attack on Giants fan. Police believe, I'm starting gibberish now. I almost did the gibberish. They must be beaming the microwaves at me. Police believe many witnesses beating that left a fan critically injured after opening day game at Dodger Stadium. Now, let's start with a grown man who wears a jersey from a ball team. Let's start with that. That's number one. This is carnival level human beings, 80, 85 IQ with fish oils on a Friday after a fish meal. Any grown man who has a jersey at home that he puts on, the wife should have him committed. But it's a free country. If you want to be that moronic and wear a jersey for a team, go ahead. So they walk around with a uniform on after a game, and they're so excited about the team, they beat someone up from another team. You hear? Again, if you're from the Muslim Brotherhood and you see a country like this, you know it could fall with a little blow. Go like, whew, the country blows over. Between that and men running around with their schmucks hanging out in San Francisco, what more do you need? What more do you need? And take a look at what you have in the White House. All you need is Clarabelle now with a horn. Grow vegetables. Eat cornbread with honey butter. Grow asparagus. Eat braised short ribs with honey glazed chokes. Eat cabbage. And then serve chocolate cake with rhubarb compote. Honk, honk. Honk, honk. That's the country I live in. Never as bad. Never as bad. And Fukushima? You forgot about the nuke plant already. The milk in Illinois is already showing radiation. Okay, it's 200,000 times below the... But already they're panicking you now. They'll start selling gas masks. People are buying shelters and gas masks. You're going to see how many people are going to be hospitalized from taking this iodide solution. Idiots. They're already taking it as a preventive, like it's a vitamin. Morons. Any man who wears a jersey or takes an iodide pill because of what happened in Japan should be committed. Or at least vote for Obama. Two skydivers collide, fall to their deaths in SoCal. Don't get me started with skydivers. I mean, if you're tempting fate, sometimes fate has a way of kicking you in the butt. Let's put it to you that way. I'd say it should happen. But what is a skydiver doing? He's a suicidally depressed human being who can't feel anything. So he wants to feel something, so he takes up skydiving. And he gets an adrenaline rush like he never had, and he says, oh my God, I feel like living again. So a guy does 17,000 jumps, and on the 17,001st, he dies. He had a nice life. Then you'll hear the family say, he died doing what he liked to do. I never understood that. What does that mean? What if he died doing what he liked to do? What does that mean? Why does that matter? What if you died doing what you don't like to do? It was the same death. Like in 200,000 years, they'll find you like a fossil somewhere at the bottom of Utah. Like it was once it was once on the underground, the mountain you're climbing on was once in a bottom of an ocean. It's too much, you know, it's like the eating of the apple of knowledge. It's too much already. Too much PhD. It's too much already. With 2,300 million years ago, there was a certain creature that was on the top of a bottom of the, under the sea. Somewhere under the sea, it was crawling around. And then all of a sudden, a landslide came and made it into a fossil. And it was discovered when a guy in 1908, a geologist, was walking with his horse and his wife. And that changed the course of understanding of human evolution, which we all came from a drop of semen. And we're nothing. There's no soul. There's no God. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's nothing. So that's why you wake up and in San Francisco, the guy's running around with a Clarabelle nose, a Clarabelle hat, green hair, going hong hong, walking around with his schmuck hanger, and the cops are not present, and you have Moonbeam running the state along with Eddie Tusum Newsom. It's called chaos. Chaotic universe. So therefore, people now crave order. So what do? They go back to the single holy book and they think it says everything. Yeah, mumbo jumbo, this is it. Follow the old mumbo jumbo, and this is the road to this will solve everything. Mumbo jumbo. Anyone who doesn't follow it, cut his throat. Even though the book is supposed to be a book of peace, cut the throat of anyone who doesn't follow old mumbo jumbo. Is it any wonder a man needs a glass of wine at the end of a long day in front of the microphone? It's Friday, folks. It's Friday. God bless America.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
here's what's on michaelsavage.com today. Don't miss this story because you're not going to read it in your local paper. Three Muslims probed the Marine base, the largest Marine base on the West Coast, two times. They tried to get into the base saying they were lost, and all they got was a slap on the wrist. Instead of being detained and arrested, they were just released. Europe relies on U.S. power again. U.S. jets to be grounded as Libya rebels struggle. Rebels. Doesn't the word have a nice ring to it? Sort of James Deanish. Louis Farrakhan says Libya has lent the Nation of Islam millions. And he defended his brother. It's interesting to know that Louis Farrakhan is defending a Jewish brother. Rangel, God bless him, says Obama didn't have the constitutional authority. Don't miss the war of the egghead. Don't miss the war of the egghead academics on michaelsavage.com. Saudi student, another Muslim, Khalid Ali M. Al-Wadasari, in Texas, pled not guilty to WMD plot. Don't tell that to any of the Muslim pressure groups. Fukushima 50 say that we're ready to die. Michael Savage celebrated his birthday yesterday. Justice Department cleared the Black Panthers in the Black Panther case. Shocking, isn't it? Boy charged with hate crime in Vail case as a Muslim. How could that be that a Muslim has another hate crime against another Muslim? I guess that's the way it works in Alice in Wonderland. Don't miss the following on the bottom of michaelsavage.com. California estate sold for $100 million. That's right, a Russian paid $100 million in Los Altos Hills. And if that's not good enough for you, see that my ratings are soaring across America. They're in black and white on the bottom of michaelsavage.com. Jimmy Carter went back to his roots. Now, we know where Jimmy Carter was born, but he went back to Cuba. And he said thank you to Raul Castro and told him he has a beautiful palace. What's interesting to me is that Jimmy Carter would congratulate a communist who lives in a palace he stole while condemning America's wealthy who have their palaces from money they earn. Listen to clip one.
You have a beautiful palace.
Sounds like the Godfather.
Fidel used to spend more time here with the guests.
Incluso no uso su despacho.
Oh, no good. No es bueno.
Hemos hablado a algunos de los oficiales de
Fidel Castro. Peanut Carter is there in Cuba going back to his roots. And he meets Raul Castro, and he says, oh, you have a beautiful palace. And Raul says, nah, no big deal. You should see what we stole down the other side of the island. This is nothing. And Jimmy Carter then goes and talks about how wonderful Cuba is and this and that. Well, he's trying to do good. As I told you, the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. But he does have good intentions. He's trying to get this guy Gross out of jail, which is, you have to be commendable on that. Listen to Jimmy Carter to give him credit in clip two.
This morning I had a chance to meet with Alan Gross, a man whom I believe to be innocent of any serious threat to the Cuban government or to the Cuban people. He's been sentenced to a long time.
All right, he's doing good, but there's a reason for it, too, a little subtext. But for that, you know, you can't look the gift horse in the mouth. He's soft on communists, so they liked him, they invited him in, and Gross is, shouldn't be arrested. They arrested him illegally and for no reason. And Carter knows he's being roundly condemned by the Jewish community for all these years, for good reason, in my opinion. So he figures he can make up amends with the Jews by getting Gross out of jail. So this is the way politics work. I mean, there's nothing shameful about it. It's just realpolitik. And he's doing the right thing in this regard. Not because of Gross's religion, but because Gross was arrested for no reason. That's all. More in a moment right here on your local affiliate.
Savage.
There's a story out. The mystery behind Gaddafi's birth. I said, what? What are they trying to cover up the Obama birth controversy? From AOL News, whatever it's worth. It says, the mystery behind Gaddafi's birth, some say he's Jewish. And they say, what if the biggest mystery surrounding Colonel Muammar Gaddafi has nothing to do with his long, brutal reign as the world's most eccentric and violent leader turned pariah? What if a long-lost letter from a Catholic cardinal who knew Gaddafi's true identity was evidence that could have solved the mystery. Conflicting reports surrounding Gaddafi's birth, sound familiar to you, have circulated since about 1970, 2 years after a Gaddafi-led coup made him the de facto leader of Libya. And then they go into the biographies written by Europeans. Gaddafi is almost always described as being born in a tent in Sirte, the son of a poor, illiterate Bedouin shepherder and his wife. But the hushed-up rumors in Libya about Gaddafi's parentage involved his mother being Jewish. The stories have conflicted over the years, and the narratives are different. One had her converting to Judaism at age 9. In another, Gaddafi's grandmother is Jewish but leaves her husband for an Arab sheikh. A more specific claim, backed up by a Libyan historian, is that Gaddafi was born out of wedlock to a Jewish woman and an Italian soldier in a village east of Tripoli. Because of the shame surrounding the birth, the baby was given to a Catholic cardinal, who in turn gave the child to the shepherder and his wife. Well, I don't know, but this is a very interesting story. How come that AOL is willing to discuss the controversy surrounding the birth of the Libyan leader, and they're not willing to discuss it about the president of the United States? I'll let you figure that out. Let's see. El Jamani is a Libyan-American activist who left Libya 30 years ago, said the rumors have always been strong in Libya, and there are reasons to believe they're true, but he says, but I prefer not to talk about it. It doesn't matter if Gaddafi is Jewish or not in the long run. What's important is that he is evil, and he needs to go, and the Arab people need to embrace Jews in Israel if the Arab world is ever going to really grow. That's pretty nice. That's very liberal of him. And then there's more on it. There's a longer story about the Oxford educated in books in Arabic about Libyan policy. And last year, Israel's Channel 2 interviewed two Israeli women of Libyan origin who claimed to be Gaddafi's Jewish relatives. That's interesting. It's very interesting. Why is there so much mystery surrounding Gaddafi's childhood, and should it matter? How legitimate are the reports that have circulated for years in Libya that Gaddafi has Jewish roots, especially the one where he was born? I wonder if it's horseradish, if his roots, if he has Jewish roots, are they horseradish? Ironically, the one where he was born out of wedlock to a Jewish girl and an Italian soldier. We can tell some jokes about that one. Why are they bringing this up now is the real question. Why do you think they're bringing up that he might be Jewish? What is this? I noticed years ago that many of the politicians in the Clinton administration were not Jewish until they got into trouble, and then they discovered their Jewish roots. Remember that one? Albright did that. She wasn't sure. She didn't know. She didn't quite know. She was born in a monastery. She was born through Immaculate Conception. But when she got into trouble, suddenly she discovered her Jewish origins. Did you notice that? Are they doing this in order to save him or to condemn him? I don't really understand. I don't quite understand. Is this good or bad? Is this good or bad? I'll ask an old question. Is this good or bad? is this good or bad for the Jews that Gaddafi might be Jewish? The anti-Semites will say, you see, I knew that SOB was no good. I knew he was Jewish. But it would put Obama in a tough spot. You dared bomb a Jewish leader? You struck somebody with Tomahawk missiles who's part Jewish? How could you do that? But the question is, why now? Why are they bringing this up now? AOL, which happens to be probably the worst news on the American landscape, which is saying the mystery behind Gaddafi's birth, some say he's Jewish. Why is that of any concern to me, what he is in terms of his religion? And you want to talk about the mystery of a birth? Let's lay it on the line with Obama and say, all right, to many American people, the biggest question mark about Obama does not involve his repressive and dictatorial rule. I'm substituting words here. Delusional state. Well, I'm going to substitute Obama for the word Gaddafi and tell me if it doesn't apply, okay? Are you ready for this? To many American people, the biggest question mark about Obama does not involve his repressive and dictatorial rule, delusional statements, or brazen lies. Behind closed doors for years, they've wondered if he is Jewish. What if we discover that now that Obama's in trouble and people are really, you know, starting to get mad at him, he suddenly says he finds out he's partly Jewish? I'm giddy with laughter because if this comes out, I know that I am a prophet and a sage. If this comes out in the next few days or weeks, now that he's in trouble with Libya's ratings are down, gas is up, carrots are down, gas is up, he doesn't know which way to turn anymore. Everything he does went wrong for him. The only salvation for Obama right now would be to discover that his great-grandmother in Kenya was actually from Israel, and she went there for some religious, and she got stuck in Kenya. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So I don't expect you to call on that at all. Libyan rebels reclaim two oil centers and sweep west. That, is that bad for Obama that the rebels are now winning? That guy holds on. He is tenacious. The guy's not letting go. You know, he didn't just say, all right, you want me to leave? I'm leaving. He didn't do a, he didn't pull a Mubarak. You know, Mubarak they threw out. He was an old, tired guy. He also was an Air Force colonel. You don't know that. You know, don't underestimate Mubarak, but he didn't go for the hair trend. Well, he also had the hair that was black. Mubarak had, he had hair plugs. I see all, right off the top, he had the hair implants. I saw that. I think he went to the hair club in Cairo a few times. Whenever you see an older guy with jet black hair, like in Chinatown or with Ronald Reagan, you know already. With me, you see, you know what you get with. I don't like the dye for men. I tried it years ago when I first started to get some gray. My whole skin broke out from it. I can't go for that. If God wanted me to have black hair till I'm old, I would have black hair. Whatever my hair is, it is. That's all. And I'm not dyeing it. I don't need to dye my hair. What do you need to look younger for? What is it going to do for you? What, are you going to run for office and look younger? I think in this day and age, people would rather you look older. I didn't say look beaten up. You could look dignified and older, can't you? I mean, I have respect for older people. I always have. Anyone a day older than me I've had respect for. But Gaddafi, by the way, was movie star handsome in his early days. You don't know this. He looked like Montgomery Clift with a military uniform. Now he looks like Bizarro with that. The face lost its, I don't know, what is the hair or the Botox, I think. It almost looks like Barbara Boxer's brother from all of the treatments that he has probably in London when he goes over there. I truthfully never thought I'd live this long. I mean, I wanted to, and one of my early heroes was Bertrand Russell. Not for his social policy, but because of his mathematical genius and his exquisite ability in the use of the English language, etc. But at the time, I was an Anglophile and quite impressionist, easily impressed by behavior. Nevertheless, Bertrand Russell was a brilliant writer, and one of his greatest essays was The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, which taught me an awful lot. Although he was a diehard socialist and liberal, Bertrand Russell, he saw right through this whole concept that if you're oppressed, you necessarily have somehow a superior virtue. And boy, did that help me my whole life to see through all of these liars with their, you know, their rackets, their the whole racketeering job with the I'm a this, therefore you can't say that to me. You know, get out of here. You know what I mean? I wasn't born yesterday. But I was thinking back to when I was young, and there were like television couples like Lucy and Desi, the most famous, right? Even today, I think people might see a rerun. There was George Burns and Gracie Allen. Even Jackie Gleason showed The Honeymooners. It was always a couple. And even if it was a bickering couple, it was a couple. And you look at TV today, notice there are no couples, no men and women. You notice what they're doing now, the people who run the media? They won't even show a couple. It's like a dirty thing. Ooh, you live with a woman and children? Are you kidding? Ooh, nuclear family. Ugh. No. We got to be real cool. You got to be a recovering degenerate, a sex addict, a recovering junkie, a sexual deviant who adopted children in Kenya. Then we can do a TV pilot. Otherwise, don't come near us. What, a couple married for a whole number of years through thick and through thin, sticking it out with children? No, not in my television set. So as I say, the only thing that could save Obama right now, now that gas is double and his ratings are half of what they were when he took office, would be to suddenly discover his Jewish roots. They could invent it. I mean, remember Wesley Clark when he ran for the presidency? He thought that he was so handsome and so debonair and everybody would like his. And he went on every television show, and even though he bombed Serbia into the Stone Age and thought that would be a great item for his curriculum vitae, as Hillary does now for bombing Libya, she thinks that she could be chairman of the world. It didn't work, so what did he have to do? He suddenly discovered that he had Jewish blood, and I think he discovered it only at the near the tail end, Wesley Clark, that his grandfather had been a Seamus in a pickle factory, and he was very proud of it. And it was the same thing with Madeleine Albright. A despicable monster of a human being, a manipulative, anti-American, everything imaginable wrong with this woman. Again, the minute her popularity hit an all-time low, she discovered she was really Jewish. The only one who hasn't come out and talked about that is Soros. We can't get him to come on the show and discuss his origins, nor his birth certificate. Hey, you think you got a problem with Obama's birth certificate? Let's ask about George Soros's birth certificate the next time he wants to take on the American media. You know what I'm saying? All right, you should have given me a Border Patrol chief says we have operational control of the U.S.-Mexico border for exactly one mile of the 1,994-mile U.S.-Mexico border. They have 1 mile under control. The Mexicans are allowed to crawl or creep or fly over the border anywhere else. Libya threatens to sue firms over rebel oil deals. Well, that's an easy joke to go back with the story from two stories ago. But when I say sue already, I'm not going there, okay? What else do we have in the news? Kuwait trial reveals Iran's hidden hand. So not interested. What is a Seamus in a pickle factory? A sextant in a synagogue. We used to use that joke as a kid. I had the worst Italian meal of my life last night. Not tainted. In other words, it was not so bad that it was like food poisoning and tainted, because then it's another story. It's a chain restaurant that I think is going out of business here in the area that I live in. None of the two places I go in, okay? Don't think that I'm talking about my friends in Alioto's or North Beach. They're the greatest. Have you ever had a dish where the sauce is like water? Like it was a pasta pescatore thing, supposedly. Shrimp and calamari. All right, I violated my diet. I shouldn't have done it. But I said, give me extra sauce because it's normally skimpy. They skimp on sauce. It comes like water. How do they think they could stay in business? What's going on in the restaurants today?
Savage.
Look, we've been talking about endlessly about this war in Libya and Obama's bypassing of the Constitution to use military forces and to bomb them. And now he's spending over $1 trillion. We don't have the $1 trillion. Joining us now to talk about this is American conservative columnist Jack Hunter.
Good to be with you as always, Michael. You know, your friend and mine, who a certain hysterical-sounding talk show host, very hysterical in his delivery, has recently come after me for me criticizing his understanding of the Constitution. If you go to the American Conservatives website and find my most recent column, you can learn all about this. But basically, it comes down to understanding what the president has the authority to do under the Constitution as it relates to the executive branch's war powers.
Why do you say that?
Well, with Barack Obama's decision to intervene to get this country involved in Libya, a lot of people are questioning not only his actions there, but whether he had the authority to go ahead and do this without consulting Congress. The particular hysterical, acting-sounding talk show host I'm talking about has been making a point. He's a nationally syndicated guy. He's been making the point that although he disagrees with Obama's actions in Libya, as many conservatives now do, he believes that the president does have the power to do what Obama did without consulting Congress. Now, I wrote a column about this at the American Conservative, sort of taking him to task because I think this sets a dangerous precedent for a number of reasons.
Well, like what?
Number one, the Founding Fathers wrote and ratified our Constitution because they wanted to limit our government. They believed in a limited federal government. That's the entire purpose of the Constitution. The point of the executive branch was to be the commander-in-chief once war has been declared, but the declaration of war is in the hands of the Congress. Now, the founders were very adamant about this, and if you read the Constitution, you see that the president has to consult Congress before formally declaring war. Now, in our past, in American history, have there been times when the president has intervened militarily without consulting Congress or declaring war? Absolutely. Some people cite the Korean War, for instance. They cite the Vietnam War, for instance, as instances where we did not officially declare war. Now, some are arguing, and this host I'm referencing in particular, that things like that warrant what Barack Obama did in Libya. That historical precedent in that area is what allows him to do that. Now, what's dangerous about that is basically, particularly for conservatives who make this argument, we are basically giving the liberals' argument for a program like Obamacare. If you ask Nancy Pelosi, what in the Constitution gives the federal government the right to mandate or regulate health care. She will say, well, where in the Constitution can we find justification for Social Security or Medicare, and therefore Obamacare is on the up and up as well, is completely constitutional. Now, the problem with that is, yes, we have Social Security, and yes, we have Medicare, and we have to contend with them to the extent that we are dependent on them, and, you know, a lot of people rely on it. But it's not a good idea to say that since we have them, that Obamacare is constitutional. Well, with this war powers argument, that's basically what this particular host and anybody who agrees with him is saying, that because in the past the executive branch, the president, has overstepped their constitutional bounds and intervening militarily around the world without consulting Congress, therefore they can do that from here on out. That sets a dangerous precedent, because either we have a constitution which limits our powers, the federal government's powers, particularly the executive branch, or we do not have a constitution. Nancy Pelosi's argument is, we don't have one to the extent that Obamacare is constitutional. And if you say Barack Obama can do what he did in Libya without talking to Congress, without debating it with Congress, or having Congress give their seal of approval, then we're basically giving away the liberals' argument concerning what's constitutional and what's not.
Right, right, right.
Anybody even remotely familiar with what the Founding Fathers just went through, their experience with the British, and what they wanted for this country that we saw expressed in our own Constitution, would understand that they feared an executive branch that has the power to do what Barack Obama just did, which is why specifically in the Constitution they disallowed it, that you can't intervene militarily, as Obama has done, without consulting Congress. I'll even give you a quote. This is a letter that James Madison wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1798, and I quote, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature." Now, obviously there, Madison is concerned that the executive branch, as he said in his own words, is always the most prone to want to wage war. The Founding Fathers, recognizing this, made it clear in the Constitution that the executive branch, the President of the United States, currently being Barack Obama, does not have the power to do that without consulting Congress.
Mm-hmm.
For conservatives to say that that's okay sets a dangerous precedent. It allows the liberals to get away with anything they want, because they basically use the same argument. Now, I dare say, and Michael, I'm sure you can relate to me on this, that during the Bush administration, when a lot of our fellow conservatives were going along with whatever George W. Bush wanted, not only ignoring his huge domestic policy, but his foreign policy, in which he circumvented the Constitution time and time again, I dare say that this particular host I'm talking about, and a lot of our fellow conservatives, will not now go back and say, well, Barack Obama has overstepped his constitutional bounds. Not because they believe he's actually within the bounds of the Constitution, because you and I both know he's not, but because they don't want to negate their former position. And that poses a problem to this new Tea Party environment. When we're talking about legitimately getting back to the Constitution and limiting government, to the extent that we can't do that because too many conservatives have still one foot stuck in that old Bush Republican era when government grew exponentially and the debt doubled and the size of government doubled all over the place. As long as we remain in that and give Barack Obama a pass on overstepping his constitutional bounds with the war powers and all sorts of other things, then you know what? We're back at square one.
Exactly.
The Tea Party might as well pack it up and go home if we're going to go back to that. That's what's so dangerous. At precisely the moment the Tea Party and grassroots conservatives are being dead serious, substantively serious about getting back to the Constitution, to have a national talk host, a conservative of the stature of the gentleman I'm talking about or anybody like him, say, well, this is a constitutional exception that's okay because Republicans have generally supported it, that is dangerous for those of us who really want to seriously limit government once again.
Well, it looks like the same old support from the same old check pants Republicans that I've been writing about under Bush and now under Obama. It's all in trickle-up poverty.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the neoconservatives, their philosophy has always been that we should be the world's policemen. The more wars, the better. The more places we can be around the world together. It's sort of the old liberal Wilsonian progressivism inverted, repackaged, and passed off as conservatism. Us traditional conservatives want a strong national defense. We believe militarily America should be the strongest superpower out there. But it should be for our actual defense. What imminent threat did Muammar Gaddafi pose opposed to the United States? None. And aiding or helping the Libyan rebels, are we aiding and helping al-Qaeda, who we now know are in cahoots with the Libyan rebels? That's exactly what we're doing. Neoconservatives are less concerned about those details as long as we are involved. And to the extent that we see Republicans still pushing that line, and let's give a lot of our conservatives credit here, most conservatives are opposing what's going on in Libya via Barack Obama and his administration right now. But the hardcore neoconservatives are in support of it. And it's dangerous when a conservative of any stripe says that Barack Obama has the power to do what he did in Libya, to effectively declare war without calling it that, kinetic military action or whatever Orwellian speech we want to use this week. To do what he did and not consult Congress is a dangerous proposition for conservatives, and dare I say anti-conservative, anybody who makes that argument.
Are there any signs that things are going to get better?
Well, I certainly hope so. The point of me writing that column at the American Conservative, taking this particular, as you've described, and I do too, hysterical-sounding talk host to task, is not to pick a fight with anybody or do something for my own ego or his ego or anything like that. It's that I genuinely care about what the Tea Party cares about. I want to get back to the Constitution, but not with the contradictions and the exceptions that both the left and right have tolerated for so long towards their own ends. I want to get back to a Constitution that we follow to the letter, not simply a projection of what we think is good and call it constitutional. I think that betrays not only our conservative principles, but it betrays the founding fathers and their vision for this country. Where I see us heading is a Tea Party that I think genuinely, by and large, does want to get back to constitutional principles, but to the extent that they are led by quote-unquote conservative leaders who are willing to make these constitutional exceptions and lead them away from traditional conservatism and what the founding fathers believed in, because it happens to be Republican or perhaps Democrat policy they happen to agree with, that's useless and it's counterproductive towards conservative ends. So I see things getting better as long as we real conservatives out there can continue to lead these people in the right direction. And I think that's going to happen. I hope so anyway.
Jack Hunter, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, I appreciate it, Michael, as always. And I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Take care, Michael.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Earth angel, will you be mine, my darling dear, love you all the time.
When I go to the across the river, you imagine when I can auction this off for with the Michael Savage's personal Bible with the post-its in it, and the money goes to some scholarship fund? That would be a big, that'd be a big thing on eBay. I get a lot of money for that one. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw that is from the hand of God. See, God tells you that. That's the thing about Jewishness. It's a lusty religion, number one, and it's also fundamentally connected to the body. This is something good about that. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw that it is from the hand of God. For who will eat, or who will enjoy if not I? This is again from Ecclesiastes. For to the man that is good in his, etc., you got the picture. Enjoy it, in other words. Then, of course, I could get into everything. There was a season. Boy, if we're not living through times that are tumultuous, where people are terrified of the baby in the White House, or shall we say the babe in the White House, who sets the world on fire and then goes a-dancing. You want to play Turn by the Birds? Because that fits right here. You can sing along. Whoa! Stop right there. A time to kill and a time to heal. We have to eliminate this. We have to burn the Bible. We have to take Ecclesiastes and set it afire. All good Americans are now to report to their local police station with the Bible and make certain that they throw it into the fire, because it's so politically incorrect. It is so awful. It says this is a time to kill and a time to heal. That's not good. A time to love and a time to hate. Hating is bad. The children today are taught not to hit back. And that's why you can be stepped on by a third world nation that comes in here and steps on you and brainwashes your children. Play your turn again before I say something I regret. Go ahead.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a
Sweet. Ooh. Take a pill. Take a psychiatric med. Here it comes.
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn.
Listen to this in a minute. See where I'm going with this.
A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace.
Okay, let's stop right there. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. We're at war, and we have a babe running America. We have nation after nation declaring war on us. We have one nation after another spitting on us. We have a Navy turned into a diversity training vehicle. We have an Air Force that's been grounded. We have a military that's been told to take gay training on the battlefield. And we have a man celebrating Motown while all this is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? I hope you do. I need some rock and roll already. I just got a stomach ache from that one.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I am.
How many times I've used the phrase red diaper dope a baby to explain the problem that America's having today because of so many communist children who went on to using marijuana that they became totally psychotic? And I wasn't doing it in jest. I used the phrase RDDBs for years. I stopped using it. I think I should start referring to it again. I believe what we're seeing in America today, particularly in the Democrat Party, is the ascent of the RDDBs. Here's a study just came out, published in a major journal, which confirms what I've been saying to you for over 15 years. Cannabis doubles risk of psychotic episodes. Using cannabis in one's youth almost doubles the risk of having psychotic episodes like paranoia and hallucinations, a study has found. A team of international researchers followed the lives of almost 2,000 young Germans who began with no history of psychosis for more than a decade. They discovered that youngsters who started smoking the drug at college age were 90% more likely to have psychotic symptoms in their mid-20s. It's an amazing story, and I've told you this over and over and over again. The scientists believe that exposure to THC, the main psychoactive component in cannabis, makes the brain more susceptible to psychotic episodes. And now what's amazing is that we've known this for years in science, but cannabis is now being pushed as though it's mother's milk. Cannabis clubs, pot clubs, medical marijuana, it's all a giant conspiracy to completely make the dumb even dumber. Why do you think it's called dope dope? Hey, dope, why do you think they call it dope dope? You think it makes you smarter? You think it makes you think better? Thinks you makes you more competitive? It makes you more easily manipulated, dope. This study adds a further brick to the wall of evidence showing that use of traditional cannabis is a contributory cause of psychosis like schizophrenia, said Sir Robin Murray, professor of psychiatric research at King's College London. And yet, pot clubs abound. America is flowing in the lies and the propaganda of marijuana. And I'm sorry to tell you who was behind it because you're not going to want to hear it. Because I had an argument with one of his henchmen 7 or 8 years ago. George Soros has been pushing the legalization of marijuana for well over 10 years through his, I think, Open Society Institute or something to that effect. I believe Soros is one of the most demonically evil men in the history of the world. That's my personal opinion. Wherever you see something evil and wrong going on, you can see one of his front groups behind it. Media Matters, funded by Soros, attacked me, falsely accused me, took my comments out of context, and got me banned in Britain. Open Society or whatever has been pushing the legalization of marijuana first in Arizona, then in California. I had an argument with one of them on the telephone years ago. Again, George Soros. We know that marijuana is highly dangerous. And yet the young people don't know this. They think that it's just something like a beer. It isn't like a beer. It is not like a beer at all. It's extremely dangerous. Try to tell your children that if they don't believe you, the marijuana smoke itself has more carcinogens in it than tobacco smoke does. Are you aware of that? Again, you don't want to understand this yet. Oh, it's green. It's something natural. Curare is natural also. I can name 10 natural substances that can kill you. What does natural have to do with it? You thinking because it's natural, it's healthy? If it's natural, it can kill you as well. There are a lot of potent compounds in nature that are toxic. Marijuana is a toxic compound, extremely toxic. It explains to a great extent why the left wing is pushing medical marijuana, because it makes the people putty in their hands. Putty, if they're doped up on marijuana, if they're doped up on skunk, they can manipulate them like nutty putty. Cannabis is a risk factor for psychosis and recommends a cautious and thoughtful approach to cannabis legislation coming out of England, of all places. Cannabis doubles risk of psychotic episodes. Major study. I don't think you'll be hearing much about it because the marijuana lobby right now in America is overwhelmingly powerful.
Savage.